thanking Jesus again for his goodness to us. Let's go back to Romans, and we're in the 6th chapter. We left off in the 14th verse, but I want to go back and get a good running start from verse 11. It kind of sets up all the remaining verses that, if the Lord tarry, we'll touch on this evening. So let's go ahead and read from Romans 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon, count it, ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Isn't that wonderful, that word alive? We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. There's an abundant living here, praise God. All right, now, we're in the realm of grace, brothers and sisters. We're in the realm of grace, brothers and sisters. All right. All right. It's all right to say amen once in a while. You know, people need to know that there's people out here in the pews too. But every Christian's in that realm. Hallelujah. The realm, thank you, Jesus, where there is no law, there is no sin. We have been made free from sin. But, praise the Lord, because of his perfect plan, we are still in the presence of sin. We're free from it, but we're still in the presence as we fight the good fight of faith to believe and rest in our standing. And the reason we rest in that standing, brothers and sisters, and we count it, we reckon it, is so that our state can grow. Our state can grow. And what state is that? I'm talking about the state of grace. The state of grace, praise God. We're in the realm of grace. And now here's the state of grace in me, growing from glory to glory into the very image of him. Now, what we've just read here is even though we are in the realm, and even though, praise God, we have the very righteousness of God, Jesus Christ imputed to us, we are still in this capsule. We are still in this weak body of flesh. And you know what? We will fail. Yes, we will. We will fail. But we can fight to be quickened. Amen? Oh, yes, we can. We don't have to give in to that. We are in, praise God, in Christ, brothers and sisters. And in Christ in us, the hope of glory, life. We do not have to let sin reign. We do not have to let sin reign. Not let sin take advantage to steal and kill and to destroy. It does not say let not sin exist, but it says don't let it reign. We have a new life, don't we? Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? We're brand new. Hallelujah. But these members, I understand this. We have weak flesh. And brothers and sisters, when weak flesh is not immersed and captivated in the truth in love doctrine life, and that's the truth now. Praise God for however Christ is preached. Amen? But when you're immersed by his grace, and I'm talking about love immersion, I'm talking about truth in love immersion, he just begins to captivate every thought, doesn't he? Those things that I used to think of, my goodness, I can't even remember them anymore. Isn't that amazing how he does it? I don't need to go thinking about those things that are haunting me. I want to think about him who's loving me. And it's in that perfect love that all that fear is cast out. All those, as we were talking about them last week, the monsters in the closet, praise God, they're gone. And that's exactly what they are. We know that in Christ, praise God, He has given us the victory. Now, we've heard it for many years in this place. Brother Hill, he heard it from Sister Bodie and Brother Copley, and I don't know who they heard it from, but I believe that maybe they just heard it from the Apostle Paul. Reckon and yield. Isn't that wonderful? How many times, praise God, we heard that in this place, and praise God that we continue to hear it. The word of our Lord. The Lord has it. The Lord has done it. Count it. Add it up. Praise God. Let the Holy Spirit perform it and yield to it. That's what's so beautiful about this. The Lord had us bring it out this way. Are we just thankful for the grace of God, or are we going in for the double portion, brothers and sisters? Thankful for the grace of God and thankful for the power of the grace of God. Amen. And there is a difference in that. And I'm thankful to God that we can trust Him and allow the power of His might to perform the power of His grace in us. See, brothers and sisters, the reckoning is the foundation laid. We talked about that last week. It's the standing. Praise God, reckon it, stand in it. And it is the standing. But the yielding is the building thereon, and the yielding is the power. When you yield to God, praise God, there's power. There's great power. There's power in the grace of God that grows you from glory to glory into the very image of Jesus Christ, that we grow up into, unto, praise God, in every way, unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, unto Him. Him. How wonderful He has given us that mark, because He is the mark. And He is the prize, and He is the high calling of God. Hallelujah. And it's all in Christ Jesus to win Him. Now, we can know a lot of things, but until we yield, brothers and sisters, and until we yield, there is no power working in us. Love turns it on. Oh, yes, it does. Truth in love. That's power. That's the power that works in us. And in order to yield to something, think of this. In order to yield to it, first you have to believe in it. You can just follow something just because, well, everybody else is. You can just follow something a lot of times because you're forced. But that isn't the way Jesus does it. He draws you. He draws you with one thing, and that is with love. But before, praise God, we will yield to that, we need to believe it. Now we are talking love. And that's exactly it, brothers and sisters. And then if you really completely, completely yield to Him, it's even more than believing. It's, I'll tell you what, it's true love. When you're captivated by how much He loves you, praise His name, you will yield to God. I thank the Lord for this. And it's the same in every life. And you know this. As the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. And I appreciate the prayers for people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And pray for yourself and for everyone else that is filled to be full and overflowing with the Holy Ghost. It's vital. It is. It's the life of the readied wife. She's full and running over. She's joyful. She's thankful. Even when sorrows come, there's a joy in the night. Praise God. There's still a rejoicing. Hallelujah. No matter what's going on. Praise God. Our day's coming, Jesus. Our day's coming. Hallelujah. And He's waiting for me, and I'm waiting for Him. Isn't it a love match? Hallelujah. And that's exactly what it is, brothers and sisters, until we really see and know the love of Christ for you. Until you know it for you. That it's to you, you will never yield your life to Him. You'll never yield until you know the love of Christ for you. You can try. You can try to be very attentive. You can have perfect attendance. You can memorize lots of things. But until you know the love for you. And it's not knowledge here. The knowledge of the Word of God. To know as husband and wife. In that most intimate of measures, to know in that knowledge, that's when you'll yield to God. Yes, you will. Love makes you do things you never would have done. And love makes you happy you did them. True love does. Hallelujah. And oh, how happy we are when we love Jesus. See, it's in a way, it's just like it in the natural. True love abides faithful. So here we are. We have a wonderful setup now going forward. We have warning and we have encouragement. And that's how God always does it. You got it all. But we must yield to this all grace provision if we're truly going to grow up into Him in all things. Let's go ahead and read now from verse 14 of chapter 6. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Do you hear that? Believe it now. Believe it. Rejoice in it. Trust Him. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Isn't that wonderful? Praise His name. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Lord brought it out. All things are lawful, but all things aren't beneficial. Come on now. These are the things that the love of God does in our lives. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God, boy, I'll tell you, rejoice. I praise the Lord when you see but God. That means it's just like, here He comes. Dun, 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 dun. You know, He's just right there. Praise the Lord. But God. You ever feeling down? But God. Hallelujah. In His great love wherewith He loved me. That's it. Take it now. That's it. He just loves. So, here we go. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Isn't that wonderful? Past. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin. See, you're made free. Not, again, it's done. Ye became the servants of righteousness. That's how He set us, every one of God's children up. There, bam, you're done. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, or sin unto sin, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. For then ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. It just gets better and better and better. Praise His name. So, we start out here in verse 14, and again, the encouragement. How many times have we heard this already in Romans? One way or another, all of these dimensions of the foundation of grace's complete freedom from sin. Completely free from sin. Knowing without doubt, brothers and sisters, we are not under the law, but under grace. But how rare that preaching is in Christianity today. And it's the truth. It's been rare all along, but it's getting more and more rare all the time. And you think why? There's lots of reasons. Obviously, man likes to control man. Biggest religions of the world, they like to motivate everybody by guilt. And that's the truth. You know that. But how about ones that they're motivated because of fear? Or ignorance, brothers and sisters, in not trusting the Word of God in His keeping power. Now I'm really hitting on Christians that don't want to go this grace way. See, men and your flesh, if you don't yield to God, will always think you can add something. Will always think you can bring something. That was exactly how it started out with old Cain. He thought that he could bring something acceptable to God when God had already provided, in a sense, He had told him, bring me the lamb. Bring me the blood of the lamb. That's all I'm here to rejoice in. That's the only thing I'm ever going to rejoice in, hallelujah, is my son. Hallelujah. How simple is that? Isn't that wonderful? We're here in the most simplicity of the gospel of Christ. Magnify Jesus. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus. Hallelujah. How wonderful. And this is the delight to God, and it becomes our delight as He again gives us and pours out that grace to expand our capacity for the love of Christ. Now, we know without a doubt we're not under law, but we're under grace. And we thank God again for these things. But again, men try to add something. They try to do something. They try to keep something. Brothers and sisters, only God can do that. Our efforts will always fail. And either what happens there is the effort fails in trying to hold on. And you know what discouragement comes right away when you try to hold on. Each and every one of us have been right there, and you know it. You know, something's been a little bit trying in your life. Well, I'm going to try something else. This ain't working, so I'm going to have to try this. And I'm going to get her done. I'll even take my accountability buddies, and we'll get it done together. And we'll all just go fall in the pit together is what's going to happen, because that's a destruction that's going to happen because it's not magnifying the Son. But then on the other hand, you might even think you are keeping it. And you know what happens when you think you're keeping it? It turns into a whole bunch of rigid condemnation for everybody else. I can keep it and you can't. Look at me do it and you can't. Here's how you do it. You got to be like me. Oh, yes. God help us never to go that way. See, when God does it, brothers and sisters, it's the most beautiful thing there ever could be, because it's always His Son, Jesus. It's always the power of His might, and the victory is always truth in love. Hallelujah. Now, we go to verse 15, and we kind of got a repeat of verse 1. I love how he says it a little bit differently. See, in verse 1, it was the enemy trying to bring in the thought of, well, it's all sin, and that way we'll magnify grace, we'll magnify God. Well, we know that don't work. We know that that is just something that the enemy would try to put in our goofy minds, and we know that that's not the mind of Christ. But now, what we got here is, let's just go sinning because we can get away with it. Huh? Well, it's all lawful. I can interpret the Word of God how I want, because it's all lawful for me. But all things aren't expedient. All things are not beneficial. And as it was pointed out so sweetly to us, that verse that's right after that there, so sweetly, there in Hebrews, is to be mindful of your brother's treasure. Every joint is treasure. Amen. I want to magnify. I want to edify you. If I can be used for that, I know one thing. I'm a vessel adding to the usefulness of the husband. Amen. But when I think of old self and I'm just going to do this and I don't care about how you feel, we got a problem, because that ain't the love of God. It might be lawful in the realm of grace, but it has no benefit to the body of Christ. You want to really take up the cross, you will deny self. You understand that? Think how sweet Paul was, where he said, you know what? You know, if I have the liberty for something, I'm not just going to go doing it in front of my brother if he doesn't have the liberty for it, just to show him. I don't want to do that to him. I pray that, Lord, if that's really a liberty that, you know, he should have, I just want to pray for him. But I do not want to throw it in the face of somebody. And how many times have all of us said, well, they're just going to have to get over it. Huh? Do you love him with all your heart, soul, and strength? Do you? Well, then you'll love your brother as yourself. And as a matter of fact, you'll even prefer that before you. So if I'm walking around and I'm copping the attitude, don't tell me what to do. I think you've answered your question. Are you really ready? Are we ready? Loving the body is the head. Huh? All right now. You should be quiet that time. That's good. Now, as it says in this verse here, of 15, kind of gets that kooky thought, well, let's just go sinning because we can get away with it. But let me tell you something about true love. True love abides faithful when no one else is looking. Amen? It's just sincere. It's just what it is. True love abides faithful when no one's looking. It don't need to be watched because true love is in perfect love's keeping. And he ministered this to me, and you talk about a ravished heart. I just was like, oh, praise you, Jesus. We're so shut up to you. We're yours and yours alone. And this is only something, again, of you that can do this. And then it goes on and it clearly tells us, brothers and sisters, that you know what? We're serving somebody. We are. And it's always one of two masters. The Word of God's very clear on this. You're either serving God or you're serving mammon. A house, what does it say in the Word of God? Divided against itself will fall. A double-minded man is unstable in some of his ways, all of his ways. It just don't work. And it can't work. Building on any part of sinking sand is sinking sand. Building on any part of it will take it all down. It'll begin to crumble it. You've seen those slides when they have those mud slides in them houses. And, you know, here's that house and it's beautiful. And here comes the slide and one little piece of that house just looks just like a sliver of it. But then that sliver comes off and then here comes the rest. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Okay. Now think about why it doesn't work. Because God's faithful. Because God's word is true. God's word has been tried. Praise God, by God. All those times. Hallelujah. Perfection. So we thank him in that. And we're grateful to God. So first off, the reason it doesn't work is because we're not our own. We're God's sons. We're his sons. And that ain't going to fly. I think about how much I love my sons. And we kind of had a discussion about it today. And, you know, I thank God it's not hard for God. It can be hard to be a parent. It can be really hard to be a parent. You get tired. God never gets tired. You can try to compromise. God never compromises. And thank God for second winds, parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts. Stand! When you know these things, stand. And withstand, and having done all, stand. Do not be moved. Don't give up. The Lord is on your side. He gave you that child. Train him up. Don't make deals. And then secondly, praise God, it's kind of the reason of the first one anyways. We got a God who is jealous over us with a godly jealousy. And he tells us in natural man it's crueler than the grave. So I don't even know what God's jealousy is all about. But I know it's a good thing over me. And I know one thing, that means I'm the apple of his eye. And he calls me beloved. Hallelujah. So aren't we thankful for these things? And see, here it is, as we read in here. It wasn't hard to serve sin when we were sinners. Did you know that? Matter of fact, you couldn't do anything else. Right? It's the truth. That's all they can do. That's why I encourage you. You love souls. Amen. But just because there happens to be a soul that seems so kind, so nice, and all of these different things, if it doesn't have Christ, it's serving the enemy. It's serving sin. That's all it can do. Understand these things. It's a very subtle, subtle tool of the enemy. Yeah. When some of these ones go berserk and start harming people and hurting folks, well, that's very evident. But it's the ones that have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. We better learn how to discern. And how we discern is in the Word of God. Amen. Now you seek peace with all men. You don't force nothing on nobody. Absolutely not. This is love. And it's for everyone. And all have been preached this precious gospel. We know that. The Bible tells us so. So don't go worrying about that. And God knows the hearts that will turn to Him. And let me tell you something. One thing about God, He'll meet you with that faith. He'll fully meet it. He's ready to meet it. From the beginning of the foundations of the world, oh son, we're ready to meet Him. Hallelujah. Many sons to glory are coming all because of you, precious Lamb. How wonderful. It's just beyond. But see, brothers and sisters, when we were in sin, it wasn't hard to sin. We didn't think anything else but sinning. But now, how much more should we have confidence and assurance in this new life and to whom we belong to really serve, praise the Lord, that now we are the sons of God. And what we're reading here in this word, and especially in this portion of Scripture, is the real key to yielding here. Do you see there in verse 17, it says, "But ye have obeyed from the heart." Oh, that's such a precious statement. See, obedience, brothers and sisters, is from the heart. And you'll see it there that it's not just from the heart, but it's from the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Now, who delivered that doctrine? This is Paul's gospel. Praise the Lord. See, they've got high calling all over this. And I thank God for the encouragement here as we go along in this precious portion of Scripture. See, brothers and sisters, we don't have obedience to God in a sense in this relationship of real growth just because He's God. We don't have obedience to God because, in a sense, not of respect and this awe. I'm talking about that we fear Him, that He's just going to smack us. That's not why we have obedience to God. We don't even have obedience to God, in a sense, just because it's the right thing to do. Obedience comes from the heart because it's love. When you receive the love of God and He grows that love in your heart, you'll want to obey God. I thank the Lord for this, how simple it is. I'm grateful to God how He has done this. I explained it like this before. I was teased very much by my brothers and sisters, and they kind of still do. I was mama's baby. I was my mom's baby. The last one. So she wanted to do everything that she could for her baby. And it was so wonderful. Mama would take so good care of me. She would wash and pick up and cook and all of these things that were done for me. And I thank the Lord for that. But you know what? I got married. And I have a sweet wife that does so much for me. And I am confident that would do everything just like my mother would do. But I thank the Lord for love. I wouldn't let her do it. And I won't let her do it. Instead of just sitting there, and sometimes we can take advantage of it, brothers and sisters. Can you imagine what love does? It becomes a pleasure to assist. It becomes a pleasure to help. It becomes a pleasure, if they only had pitchers, for me to do dishes and things of that nature. Anything that I can do without getting in the way. As I tell my wife sometimes, a man's got to know his limitations. That's when it can all turn to a bad note. So we thank God for that. But see, that's love. That's love. You know, I appreciate we kid around. Well, I got the honey-do list. And let me tell you something. That's the lover-do list. It should be. You love. That's why. It's just love. Why do you come to Wednesday night Bible study? Because He loves you. We love Him because He first loved us. We're responding to that love. That love is doing things. We can't help but do it. See, when we're in love, hallelujah, that's the love, praise God, that causes us to yield. And when you really love Him and yield, praise the Lord, He causes you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen? You don't have a good time anymore doing the things that the Lord doesn't want you to do. And then, praise the Lord, you don't even think of those things anymore. Isn't it wonderful? That he gives, it is, you got that new mind, you got his mind. And thank the Lord, you don't think of those when we're captivated. But we don't just coast along. You know that. We're going to be tried. But that's why, brothers and sisters, you give him more praise. You give him more glory. You magnify him even the much the more. And think about what happened to those ones, those children in the wilderness. God kept doing more and more for them, and all they did was more and more murmuring. Remember the faithfulness of God. Thank him for it. Praise him for it. Because he does these marvelous things, and then he's going to show off his faithfulness in you again, because something's going to happen. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tried in every manner. Paul says it's going to be just like me if you're running for the crown. Do you know that? Yeah, the Bible says that. Well, I saw a couple people just walk out. No, they didn't. Because of the love of Christ. You would be crazy to endure without knowing his glorious love. Amen. That's what this is what it is. It's easy to coast, you know that. It's easy to underachieve. I preach that every week in my house. Pointing to this success and pointing to that. That's wonderful. I appreciate that. Don't plateau. Keep on going. You're at the halfway house and it feels good? Get out and start going. Quit patting yourself on the back. Say, I'm thankful for the grace of God, forgetting those things which are behind. And I thank the Lord at a young age. The one thing that really hung in my heart was when Brother Hill said it wasn't just the defeats, it was the trophies. And let me tell you something, I'm preaching to a lot of trophy. Ones that have been graced with trophies. Praise the Lord. Now lay them down and go on. Go on. And as you go into the heights, the air gets thin. You don't feel like you can go much further. But praise God, by his love, press on. Now, I said it like this. And I thank God for the godly mom that the Lord gave me. But growing up, it wasn't, son, do this, and son, don't do that. It truly was, son, just fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. And he will lead you, he will guide you, he will direct you, he will convict you, he will chasten you. Oh, you know all these things, don't you? She would say, just be tender to God, honey. And you're tender to God to want to hear his word. How wonderful and how powerful. There's nothing more powerful than the love of God. It has changed the hearts of every man. It changes us from glory to glory into like him. Because God is what? He's love. You see? I mean, that's what it is. We're running this race of love. This wonderful grace that's been bestowed to us. All of this precious grace. It's just to continue to have that precious Holy Ghost to shed the love of God abroad in our heart. Not to shed all of these religious things that we think are so good. It's love. And when love and all of that love is put into our lives and continues to grow, there will be the evidence of the work of that faith in love that'll come out. It'll come out in all different ways. Don't even think about it. It's just the after effects of the love of God. It's wonderful when people are encouraged. I thank God that there's people that really do love to hear the word of God. That, yep, I butcher the King's English. I do a lot of bad things. But they know one thing. By the grace of God, that man loves Jesus. And I want you to have his best. And I know by the grace of God, he'll anoint me to give it. I have full confidence in him. That he's going to serve it up every single time. Not because of you, not because of me, but because he's faithful and he loves us. That's what it is. And we can have that confidence in everything in our lives. And I thank the Lord for that. And I thank God that we rejoice and we give thanks. And yes, we can appreciate one another and thank God for you. I thank God for you. You're his precious jewels. You're his inheritance. You're his lovely ones, his dearly beloveds. How wonderful. How awesome. Now run on. Praise God. More of him. Hallelujah. How wonderful. And this is what he does, and this is how he does it. I am thankful to God, again, how he powerfully and wonderfully works it all in our lives. Now, verse 19, can you imagine? It tells us our flesh is weak once again. And again, and again, and again, and again. Where's all the strength? Christ in you, Christ in me. Hallelujah. That's the hope of glory. And Paul reminds us about our weak flesh. He does it so sweetly in 2 Corinthians 12 because, you know, this sweet brother was running for God's best. And God had to really encourage him. And you know how God encouraged him? In that weak flesh that was really starting to just waylay him when he said, oh, the good that I would I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. You know what God encouraged in his heart, which was so wonderful? Oh, Paul, honey, when you turn that over to me, that's the glory. That's the glory. Remember how he says, I glory in my infirmities. I glory in my distresses, in my weaknesses, in all of these things. And why did he say that? Because when I'm weak, oh, I'm strong. For the very power of Christ is resting upon me. And then he goes on to say, therefore, I will glory in them. Happy, hallelujah. These are my presents from the bridegroom. The gifts, praise the Lord, to keep me weak, hallelujah, and strong in Jesus. You can't help but win here, brothers and sisters, when you trust God. That's the beautiful thing, hallelujah, is that he wants this for you. He has so, I'm sure I'd get, he just stacked it, let's put it that way. All right, my goodness, get some liberty in here. But he has given it all to you. You're more than a conqueror. The victory's been won. It's all there. Just count it, reckon it, and now let that power grow it up. Be bold in the Lord and in his love to you. Be not ashamed of that gospel of Christ that is for you. Now, in that, sure things we wish sometimes would be not so hard for us. But you know what? God knows what we need to buffet us. Amen? You know, when Paul was talking about those thorns to the Lord, you know, the Lord told him, he said, now, Paul, if I remove them, you would be magnified. You would be puffed up. I got those there for you, honey, to buffet you, to keep you in that precious state of calling out to me, thanking me that I am. Glory to God. Again, how perfect he is. To keep him humble, needy, not to harm us, brothers and sisters. But these are the things that cause us to yield that weakness to him and let him be strong and have the very power of Christ resting upon our life. Now that is the full overcomer, wife-ready victory. And there it is, again and again and again and again. The power of grace. As he said, my grace is sufficient for you. Isn't that wonderful? Not just sufficient for everybody, but you and you and you and you. We're talking about tailor-made. Isn't that precious? It's so vast, but yet so pinpointed. It's so tremendous. And yet, at the same time, and tremendous and powerful, it's all in love. And that's how our precious God does it, again and again. See, once we yielded our members to sin, and what did it say? Iniquity begat iniquity. Sin can only begat more sin. And that's the way it was. But now it says yield to righteousness. Remember we talked about that realm of grace we're in? But the double portion is, brothers and sisters, is in that we've got the very life of Christ imputed in us. He didn't put us in grace powerless. He gave us the life of Jesus to appreciate the grace, to glory in the grace, to grow in the grace. Amen. And that's what this is, to yield to righteousness, Jesus Christ living in you. That's the righteousness of God. It's Him. Yield to Christ in you, and that is the hope of glory. Yield to that doctrine specifically. And you'll never yield fully to Him without, as it says, this doctrine. That's why it says, preach no other gospel. That's why Paul says, you follow me as I follow Christ. This is the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It is that precise. And that mystery of Christ in the church, that Jesus Christ is going to have that wife. As Brother Paul said, that dispensation was given to me. Praise the Lord for that sweet vessel, just like all these sweet vessels. And praise God for the treasure. The treasure of what? Of the exalted rank of righteousness crown. That's the treasure that He preached, and that's the treasure that by the grace of God He lived. So, brothers and sisters, just as sin begets more sin, as we yield to God, oh my goodness, more holiness, and that holiness is more sanctified life, more separation unto Him, and praise God, more glory to glory. Isn't that really what it is? Oh, thank the Lord. See, as that righteousness unto holiness, see, that righteousness is Christ in you. That's growing up into Him in all things. And as that happens, brothers and sisters, you get separated more to God. The holiness grows. You're already holy. But there's a growth in holiness. Thank God. There's a growth in righteousness. That's why it's the exalted rank of righteousness. Again, don't plateau. Allow that life, who is completely righteous and holy, to grow up fully. Amen? And oh, what glory to glory comes forth. Oh, what riches and inheritance just grow so bountifully to the Father. That's what this is. What a precious double portion comes forth. The sons and the daughter-in-laws. Oh, I love it. It's wonderful. Praise His name. Now, as we close this up, you see one more time in verse 22. But now being made free from sin. He sure knows what we need to get, don't we? See, we keep wrestling. Oh, I got to wrestle sin again today. Oh, I just got to get rid of this sin. And how many times has He told us? We need to count that up. How many times does He tell you directly? You have been made free from sin. Jesus Christ did it for you. He came in. You died with Him. And now you're raised and seated. Praise the Lord. Good as there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And what He's saying here, believe it. Apprehend that beautiful, fully justified Christ in you, the hope of glory life. Praise the Lord. That's what you'll grow in. You'll grow in grace. You'll never grow in you doing something. You'll never grow in you thinking you need to be something or attain something to gain favor with God. All He wants you to grow in is that great grace. Praise His name. You grow in grace and praise God. You will become a servant to God. And brothers and sisters, know exactly what this servant is speaking of here as we close this out. This again is the prisoner of His love, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Yes, praise the Lord. I was thankful to express something to somebody the other day. It was about a business investment and something like that. They're kind of getting a little pushy and different things. And I had to tell this man, I said, well, I'll tell you why I'm not going to do that. I said, because we go along and something happens in the years and stuff. Nothing personal, but I'm gone. I said, the only thing that I, by God's grace, and I did say it just like that, that I'm faithful to, is my Lord and my wife. I said, I'm not married to this. You understand what I'm saying here? I'm not here to please people. Not by God's grace. Not here to try to be bogged down with me feeling good about something. I want to please the Lord. All right? And there's a mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus in it. And let's do stand again in the grace of God. So this is a prisoner of his love. And that's obeying because of love. And that's the only obedience there ever be is because of love. And then what springs forth in love? True worshiping vessels. Don't you love to worship God? Amen. Isn't it wonderful to praise Him in the Holy Ghost? Isn't it wonderful as the Lord just comes over your life and He just takes everything and that precious tongue and it just, everything's gone, mine's gone, everything. It's just Jesus and I don't know what's coming out and sometimes He lets me know. But that is so wonderful, that vessel that's just tuned to Him. See, that's a spirit and truth cherubim. Amen. That's what that is. It just walking, feet straight, praise God, we're just taking a walk. Wherever the Spirit turns and leads, we're just going. I don't look at the furnace. We're going through there. Okay, Spirit, yep. I'm going. Praise the Lord. Rejoicing. And He's always there. Hallelujah. And that, what does that vessel do, that Spirit and truth? That's the one that really adds to the usefulness of the husband. And in that, brothers and sisters, that's when the holiness bursts forth. You look at all the references here of His righteousness growing in us. And when that righteousness grows, the holiness comes out. It's set apart life. See, holiness is set apart to Him. See, holiness isn't, again, what the religious world thinks. Well, see, I'm just going to walk around and you're going to be blessed with my presence. And watch me. I've got a robe and big cross and all the, you know, whatever, hats. It becomes a clown show. I don't know what else to say, but it's sad and it is abominable. Because that's the most dirty thing to God is any self-righteousness. When you become holy, it's transparent. You're gone. And all that's seen anymore is Jesus. And I thank God for this. And it's so wonderful how He does this. And what holiness is it's sanctified. It's sanctification. It's more separated to Him, set apart. The vessel only for the Master's use. Remember how we heard so many times about the mustache cup? Hidden away. That mustache cup wasn't coming out for anybody that was coming over. When I used to have a mustache, I had a mustache cup. People came over. I didn't go walk around and say, hey, look at my mustache cup. You know? Or my toothbrush. I don't want anybody using my toothbrush. That's mine. You don't need to see it. You know? I don't want anybody. That's mine. It's a vessel for me. And that's exactly what this is. Vessels set aside only for His use. They're hidden ones. Amen. Praise God we're hidden away in Him. World, the Lord has to take up that hedge for us to ever even be noticed. Don't try to be noticed. Don't do it. Stealth. Beautiful. But you know what? He'll let you be noticed. And it's beautiful when... How beautiful when somebody inquires about that hope that lies within you and you're ready to give an answer. Oh, it's because of how much Jesus loves me. And you know what? He loves you just the same. You just don't know it, but He loves you just the same. God so loved the world that He died for you. He died for me. He died for everybody. And He did. How beautiful. And then how beautiful when He lifts the hedge. And I'll tell you what. And then the enemy comes at you. Oh, yeah. That's beautiful stuff. Praying one for another. See, no wonder when it's talking about all of this holiness, all of this separated unto Him, all of this sanctified. No wonder the four living ones, what's their prayer, what's their pray, and what's their worship? Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You think they're a little bit separated? Lord God Almighty, which was and is, it is to come. I'll tell you what, holiness all over the place. Holiness so thick, the smoke comes up, and the priest got to get out of the temple. And all that's left is the glory of the Lord, the cherubim, and him. Now, finally, and we'll close it real quick. He continues to give us the reference in this last verse, brothers and sisters, and it's very important. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Speaks of living the eternal life, living the everlasting life. We have it, but are we living it? And whose life is that anyways? Yes, it is. It's the life of Christ in you. And that's what it is. And the encouragement is, brothers and sisters, to live it now. See, most Christians are waiting someday to live eternally in heaven. Don't wait. You're a citizen of heaven right now. Don't wait. You're seated in the heavens right now. Don't wait for blessings. You're already blessed with all the spiritual heaven blessings in the heavens in Christ right now. You tell people that and they don't get it. And I'm talking about, when I say people, I'm talking about God's precious children. They just don't get it. But how can you get it without the Holy Ghost who takes the things of Christ and shows them unto you? Huh? You want to get it more? Get more full of the Holy Ghost. Worship more. Pray more. You'll be more joyful. You'll be more thankful. I'll assure you, you'll be praising the Lord even more in that precious language that he's given you. Don't be stuck. Don't say, well, that's just not mine. Oh, yes, it is. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. Praise him at night. I pray some of us get up tomorrow morning and you're just praising him in that tongue. You ever have that happen to you? You just woke up and he's just going forth. You see, it's not even you. It never was you. It's him. All right now. The readied wife rules and reigns with him now. Amen. Amen, she does. And she allows his life to be fully exercised and lived now. And what a wonder it is, brothers and sisters, for the full grace, love, and power plan alive and living in us. The full grace. The full grace. The full love. And oh, what power that is, alive and living in us. That's what the grace of God is. It's the power of his love alive in you, growing in you, thrilling in you, conquering in you, overcoming every foe. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.